Let me apologize in advance for any facts here that may ruffle your impression of America's greatness, but here's an alarming international legacy. The nation that hosts the headquarters of the United Nations is also a nation that has flaunted international law with doctored or marginal intelligence information presented as fact, WMD in Iraq, remember that? Unilateral military operations in defiance of the UN, refusal to recognize international accords on landmines, child rights, disability rights, the International Criminal Court. This nation administers a military base technically not on U.S. territory and technically on U.S. territory, where no international law or even U.S. law seems to apply, where people can apparently be held without confronting their accusers, held for decades without even being charged. Guantanamo. This week, the president vowed once again to close the Guantanamo detention facility, and he cited a certain embarrassment over the human rights record there.
When I talk to other world leaders, they bring up the fact that Guantanamo's not resolved. It undermines our standing in the world. It is viewed as a stain on our broader record of upholding the highest standards of rule of law.
That particular prison is a very special institution. And no norms of international law, they are not respected there. It's like a legal vacuum, you know. Mm-hmm. And once again, it's not only our view. Whether it will be tackled by the incumbent administration, and some people say the chances are slim, it is to be tackled. It is to be tackled because this issue is an unresolved human rights problem.
We get lectured to by human rights activists around the world. That is Russian human rights envoy Konstantin Dolgov speaking 4 years ago. 779 people have been detained at the Guantanamo Bay detention camp since it opened in January 2002. 91 prisoners are currently at Guantanamo, and whether or not these prisoners are out in 10 months by the time President Obama leaves office, the egregious abuse of international principles of law and the pursuit of power by fiat have all been noted by the U.S. Supreme Court and legal scholars. Jennifer Daskal is a professor at American University Washington College of Law, as well as a former counsel to the Assistant Attorney General for National Security at the Department of Justice. Jennifer, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Now, have I overstated the case here? Are you ready to walk out of the room? I mean, just let's step back here and give us a sense of how bad this is.
So I think there's perceptions and there's reality. So certainly when Guantanamo was first opened in 2002, it was chosen to be outside the United States, specifically as a place that would be outside the reach, as you put it, of U.S. law and international law. Things have changed. They've evolved considerably since then. And the Supreme Court has mandated that detainees at Guantanamo have the right to bring habeas corpus, saying that at least certain constitutional provisions apply to Guantanamo. And this administration, the Obama administration, has committed to abiding by the rules of international law. So I don't think it's fair to say that today in 2016 that Guantanamo is outside the reach of the law. That said, those perceptions and the history of Guantanamo persist, and they affect the world's perception of it. And the other reality is that there are still 91 detainees who are held there, some of whom who have been held for almost 15 years at this point, and that's a very long time.
As a legal scholar, would you say this is a precedent, whether it's a mistake or not, and that it in the future opens the door for actions of this kind? Or is it just universally acknowledged as a mistake, like Plessy versus Ferguson and other decisions which will presumably never repeat?
I think the mistake that is hopefully a lesson that is learned is taking detainees. These were mostly detainees that were picked up in Afghanistan in the early days of fighting after the September 11th attacks. And they were brought out of Afghanistan all the way to Guantanamo. And the end result is that it's very hard to find a solution once they're removed and brought far away to a detention facility without any disposition plan, without any effort at the time to gather the kind of evidence that would be needed to bring criminal cases that would have the kind of finality that doesn't exist, and without any kind of end game, end plan at the end of the day. Subsequently, the United States detained lots and lots of people in Iraq and lots of people in Afghanistan in connection with fighting there. But when the majority of troops pulled out of Afghanistan and when troops pulled out of Iraq, those individuals were transferred to the Iraqi and Afghan governments respectively or repatriated. But the problem is that with these detainees brought to the United States or outside of the United States, it creates a whole host of additional political headaches and practical headaches in terms of trying to figure out what to do with them.
So the we've gotten ourselves into a pickle, and it can't be resolved precisely because of the geography of Guantanamo. That's what makes it unique. But the pattern here is whenever things get dicey in terms of American security, whether we're talking about Andrew Jackson in New Orleans or Japanese internment in World War II or the moments after September 11th, the Constitution gets tossed aside pretty readily. We don't hold to it in these moments of crisis.
I think that's right. I think you often see a pendulum swing in response to national security crises. It's now 2016. Guantanamo was opened in response in the days after the September 11th attacks, which were at this point a very long time ago. And I think it's good news that the president is talking about a plan. He has talked about plans before, as I think most people will recall that on his third day of office, he announced a plan to close Guantanamo within a year. He has significantly reduced the population. Under his watch, about 147, exactly 147 detainees were transferred out of Guantanamo. Under President Bush's watch, 500 detainees were transferred out of Guantanamo. And now the question is what to do with the 91 that are left. And importantly, of that 91, 35 of them have been cleared already for transfer. And this is cleared not just by Obama, but by all of the heads of the relevant security agencies in the United States, the Department of Defense, the intelligence agencies, the Department of State, Justice. They have cleared these individuals as posing an insufficient, not a significant enough threat to continue to detain them. And so step number one is to get these detainees out of Guantanamo.
It's a complicated unraveling, that's for sure. Jennifer Daskal, professor at American University Washington College of Law. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.